Thank you, honey. Good job, Ash. Appreciate that. We're honored tonight to have Brother Ryan, but we're also honored to have his wife Gina's mom and dad with us and many others that are visiting. Let's welcome our visitors to Manuel. And I met Brother Ryan last year, actually met on a golf course, and that's a good place to meet. And to be honest, just kind of hit it off. And we have a lot of things in common. He loves to hunt. Can I get a witness on the building? He loves to hunt, loves to fish, all that kind of stuff. And kind of hit it off, became pretty good friends. And we've been able, my wife and I have been able to spend some time with them and kind of hear their heart over the last several weeks. And they like Texas Roadhouse, which is another good thing. A lot of good things that are just really, really good. But will you welcome Brother Ryan to the pulpit tonight? Come ahead, my brother.
Thank you, brother. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, brother. Thank you, man. Well, it's good to be here tonight. Amen. God's house. And looking forward to what God has for us. And I can tell you, I really appreciate the friendship that we have. And been such a blessing to me and my wife. Through some times. And I can really truly say Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is blessed to have a pastor and pastor's wife and family that you all have. Because I know he loves his people, loves his flock. And I've already felt that compassion and love in my family. So it's been a blessing, and truly blessed here at this church. And you guys are okay too, but I mean, they're really great. No, the whole church, I mean, everyone's made us feel at home and made us feel welcome, and truly a friendly church, and we're really thankful for that. And it is good to be in God's house tonight. And give you a little background. I was pastoring a local church here for the last year and a half, and God decided to deliver us from that situation. It's a good thing, and we're looking forward to what the Lord will have for us in the future. Just pray for the Buja family. It really truly is an honor to be here. But open your Bibles, Mark chapter number 11 tonight. Mark chapter number 11. Going to be preaching about Palm Sunday this evening. And if you would stand in reverence to the Word of God, and we'll go ahead and read in Mark chapter number 11, and we'll begin in verse 1. Mark 11, verse number 1, let's read. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye, loosening the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they went before, and they that followed, crying, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you that we have the opportunity to come to your house tonight and worship. Lord, many countries around this world do not have the right, or the government shuts them down or does not let them come to a church. I'm so thankful that we can preach in a free country and, Lord, have the ability to serve you and worship you and come here tonight. Lord, I pray for those who couldn't make it, Lord, not feeling well tonight. And I know the sickness has been going around, and, Lord, many are not feeling well. But, Lord, pray for them. And as they're at home, maybe they're watching on TV. Lord, I don't know. But, Lord, we just pray that they would get healed quickly. Lord, be with the message tonight. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I can't do it on my own. And Lord, we just pray for your wisdom and your guidance. And Lord, use my mouth as your mouthpiece as you can, Lord. And Lord, just that the Holy Spirit might work tonight, Lord. And we'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So we think of Palm Sunday, and we know that Palm Sunday is the Sunday before the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's going to be riding a donkey into Jerusalem. We know that was already prophesied back in Zechariah 9:9. It says, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. So we know that it was prophesied before. So you would think they would have been ready. They would have been excited. They would have known the king was coming. They would have been, ready to go. But of course, we know that there was a much different outcome. We know that in just a few short days that our Lord and Savior would be crucified on the cross of Calvary. Can you imagine that he did that for us? You imagine leaving all of heaven's glory to come here and die for people that don't even like you, that despise your name, that curse your name? You imagine going to somebody, one of the richest men in the world, and saying, all right, here's what we want you to do. We want you to give up everything you got. And what you're going to do is you're going to go live a life, and you're going to be homeless for 33 and a half years, and you're going to go, and at the very end, you get to die for these people that don't like you anyway. He did that for you and me. We serve a great God, don't we? We think about the crucifixion, but we rewind back just a couple days, and here we have Palm Sunday, and Jesus is going to ride a donkey into Jerusalem. I want to preach for a few minutes about the donkey. All right, verse number one. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. Now in the Word of God, you'll find, if you look quickly over, keep your place there in Mark chapter 6, verse number 7. It says, and he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Verse 12. And they went out and preached that men should repent. You'll find out all throughout the Word of God that God will send people out in twos to go out and be a witness. You'll find that in Paul's missionary journeys. Men would go out in two, in groups of two. And of course, we know that when we go door knocking, typically you send in groups of two. I mean, it's a good witness, a good testimony. There's a lot of reasons behind why we do that. But it is a biblical principle to go out in groups of two when you go out and you're witnessing. So we find out here in verse number one, the Lord sendeth. Verse 2 and 3, we're going to find out the Lord's instructions. Verse 2, and saith unto them, chapter 11, verse 2, and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. Here we find out that the Lord gives them their instructions. Here's what you got to do. The first thing you got to do is you're going to go over to a different city. If you look at the beginning of verse 2, he says that, he saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you. Now you stop for a minute and you think, why did the Lord send him to a different village? The Lord could have had a donkey prepared right around the corner, right down the block, right? I mean, why did they have to go all the way to a different village to get this donkey? Could have been, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 miles away. I don't know the distance, but it was a different village. I don't know how far it was away. It wasn't like they could just, load up the horse trailer and go pick up the donkey or, fly over there to get it. I mean, they just had their Air Moses on and they had to walk over there, amen? I mean, that's what they had to do. So why did the Lord send them to a different village to go get this donkey? It could have been a lot easier. Number one reason, when you serve the Lord, it's going to cost you something. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard things they have to go through, hard things that you got to deal with. It's going to cost you something. It might cost you your time. It might cost you a friendship. It might cost you certain things that, you just didn't feel like you want to give up. And so many people today do not serve the Lord because they don't want to give up. Well, I can't give up that. Oh, I can't do that. Folks, when you serve the Lord, not always easy. You go through times and when people get the misconception about, well, if I get saved, then everything's going to be hunky-dory and everything will be fine and I won't have any problems and I'll just tiptoe through the tulips and everything will be fine. Doesn't work that way sometimes, does it? Read the Word of God and find out what Paul had to go through. Find out about how he was beaten, how he was thrown in prison. Find out about how he was stoned so bad one time that they thought he was dead. So they picked him up and they threw him outside the city because they thought he was dead. You know why? He was serving the Lord. Number one reason that they sent him out to a different village is, number one, serving the Lord will cost you something. Number two, God wanted to see if they were going to be obedient. Look at the verse number two. It says, and he saith unto them. See, God didn't make robots. God said, hey, here's what I want you to do. And he gave him the list of do this, do this, do this, and do this. He didn't make mechanical robots that did it. He said, here, here's the instruction. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to listen. I want you to see if, are you going to be obedient or not? They had a choice, didn't they? See, when you got saved, our whole faith is based on a choice, isn't it? You can choose to accept Christ or choose to reject Christ. It's a choice. But folks, let me tell you something. When you get saved, there's another choice to be made. You have a choice. Am I going to serve the Lord? Am I going to be faithful? Am I going to pray? Am I going to read the Word of God? Am I going to help out here? Am I going to help out there? That first choice is only the first one. After that, every day there's a choice. Will I serve God or not? He wanted to find out if they're going to be obedient. He wanted to find out if they're going to serve him, if they're going to serve him faithfully. So we found out in verse number 2 that God gives them their instructions. You know, it's funny. People will say, I wish I just had an instruction booklet. I wish I had an instruction booklet on how to raise my family. I wish I had one for, to go through life's problems. And what, they make them books, Life for or the Dummy book or something, and all these different things. You know, I wish I had this booklet for raising my kids and raising, this, or when I have this problem in my life, I wish I had an instruction booklet for that. We have it, don't we? So we have the instruction book. We know that the Lord has instructed us to not only make that first choice of getting saved, but after that we need to live sanctified. Sanctification, when you get saved, the moment you get saved, you're sanctified. That means to be set apart for God. So you can never be unsanctified, amen? Praise the Lord for that. But even though we are sanctified, the moment we get saved, you have to realize that every day you live, you have to make a choice. Am I going to be sanctified today? Daily sanctification. Am I going to set myself apart for God today, or am I not? Every day there's a battle, the spiritual battle. The little devil and the little angel on both sides, and they're going at it. Every day you got to say, you know what? I'm going to set myself apart today to serve God. Think about this piano. This piano, they say it probably down south, right? This piano is sanctified, amen? That piano has been set apart for service to God. If a heavy rock metal group came in here one day and said, hey, Pastor Tracy, we'd like to borrow that piano for the heavy rock metal concert we have going on around the corner here, I don't think Pastor would have let them borrow it, would he? No, sir. That piano's been sanctified. That piano's set apart for God. Amen? Amen. Can I say, we need to every day wake up and say, you know what? Today I'm going to set myself apart for God. Today I'm going to serve God to the best of my ability. So number one, we find out his instructions here in verse 2 and 3. In verse number 4, we're going to find their obedience. Look in verse 4. And they went their way. A lot of Christians today are going their own way. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians today, that we get our fire insurance policy, if you will, and then we think, well, we're okay, right? I'm not going to hell, so I'm okay now, and I can do what I want. I can do things my own way. And folks, it doesn't work like that. We have to do things God's way. Here we find out, it says, and they went their own way. But can I tell you, it had nothing to do about going their own way. They end up serving the Lord. They end up being faithful. And can I say, you know how you win the world? You don't win the world to Jesus Christ by acting like the world. You don't win the world by talking like the world. You win the world by being different. You win the world by being sanctified. You win the world by setting yourself apart. People know when you're different. It's funny when people, if you're being a witness and people, I don't want to hear that, I don't want to hear that. And then something happens in their life and all of a sudden, well, I better go talk to so-and-so, going through a hard time. They were set apart. The Bible says, and they went their own way. But let me tell you, they didn't go their own way. They went the Lord's way. As in the book of Isaiah, it says, what did he say? Here am I. Send me. That was their attitude. There's this bumper sticker that says, God is my co-pilot. And you know what? It kind of sounds good at first till you really stop and think about it for a minute. God is my co-pilot. Let me stop. Okay, so if God's my co-pilot, that would mean that I'm the pilot. So if I'm the pilot, that means I'm flying the plane. I'm flying where I want to go and where I want to. And then you know what? if I get a little tired or, you know, I just don't feel like flying, well, then the co-pilot can take over for a little while. Let me tell you something. God is the pilot, amen. We're the co-pilot, amen. Here they didn't go their own way. They said, "No, what? I'm not going to sit here and be the pilot. God, I'm going to let you go ahead and be the pilot. I'm going to follow your way. I'm going to go your way, God, not fly my own way." So, verse number four. First, we find their obedience. So then they went their way and found the colt tied by the door. Here they go. They finally get there. They get to the other city. They find the colt. And can I say the colt is a picture or a type of a lost soul? If you look in verse number two with me, at the right about in the middle, it says, "And as soon as ye be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat." You find out what happened here? That's a wild donkey. No one's ever rode that donkey. Can I say that donkey has never been tamed by the master yet? It was wild. It had no direction. It had no purpose. And when you're lost, you have no direction. You have no Holy Spirit guiding your life. You're wild. You know, I try to take my, I didn't go this year, but I like to go to the Red Wing games. And we went to a few last year. You know, I took my boys and that. And but this year, the tickets prices were high because it was the last year at the Joe. And they were horrible anyway. So I'm not going to go pay a bunch of money to watch them get, you know, lose 5-1. But I've taken my boys there, and you know, you go there, and man, I mean, you would think with kids around that the men would hold their tongues and you know, have a little discretion, but they don't. You want to know why? Because they're wild. They've never been tamed by the master before. It's kind of like going up to a group of chickens, you know, that are clucking around the pen and say, "Hey, you knock off that clucking stuff." Folks, they're chickens. That's what chickens do. They cluck. They can't help it, right? But sometimes we get in this kind of groove of like, "Oh, I can't figure out why the world talks like that. Can't figure out why they act like that." Because they're chickens, amen? They're wild. They're going to act like chickens. So here he goes up, and we see the donkey is a type of it's wild. It's never been rode before, never been ridden before. And we find out here in verse number four that it was in a place where two ways met. First of all, it's tied by a door. Who's the door? Jesus. And it's tied by this door where two ways meet. Folks, I don't care what Oprah says. I don't care what Dr. Phil says or Muhammad or whoever, Obama, I don't know, whatever. I don't care whatever they say. There's only two places you can go when you die, heaven or hell. You either accept Christ and go to heaven or you reject Christ and you go to hell. Well, this wild donkey's by a door where two ways meet. He's going to have a choice. Can you imagine if you believed, you know what, if I'm a really good person, I can come back as a cow? I mean, what a blessing. I mean, I get to come back as a cow. I mean, think about that for a minute. It's crazy. But here this donkey's standing by a door where two ways meet, and he's going to have a choice. Look at verse number four. "Without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them stood there and said unto him, What do ye loosing the colt?" You know what that's a picture of? When they start to loosen the colt? It's a picture of witnessing. You know, when you're lost, you got the chains of sin are all wrapped around you. You have that rope tied so tight around you. And boy, when you start to witness and you start to plant the seed and you start to water the seed a little bit and start to loosen them chains, loosen that rope a little bit, and boy, letting the heart starting to soften a little bit and the Lord starting to work a little bit. That's what's happening here. Starting to loosen up that colt, starting to be a witness unto that colt. It's a type of witnessing. And I can imagine for a moment as the devil's probably thinking, "Oh boy, I got that one tied up good. Oh no, that one said no a lot of times before. And oh, he's probably wrapped up good." But here is they're planting the seed, they're loosening them up, they're being a witness, and they're loosening them up. But one more thing has to happen. And you all know the verse. Some plant, some water, but what has to happen? God has to give the increase. Look in verse number 7. "And they brought the colt to Jesus." Folks, you know what our job is? To bring the lost to Jesus. Our job is to lead them to Christ. It isn't our job to figure out, well, I don't think they'll really care. It's not our job. It's our job to be a witness. It's our job to give them the gospel. It's our job to lead them to Jesus. We can't save them, but we can lead them to the one who can. So here they brought the colt to Jesus, and can I say everything we do needs to point to the Lord. No matter what you eat, no matter whatever you drink, do all to the glory of God. Everything pointed to Christ, being Christ-like, being a Christ-like example. Everything we do should be to the honor and to the glory of God. So many people try to build up so much, you know, try to build up wealth and try to build bigger barns all the time. Folks, you can't take that with you when you go. Reminds me of a very rich man that had passed away. And this man was very wealthy. And as he passed away, you know, his kids were there and the wife were there. And the mom or the wife had said, you know what, kids, I have to honor your dad's last request. And that was he wanted to be buried with all his money. And the kid's like, well, you're not gonna do that, are you? and she's like, I have to. That was what your father wanted. He wanted me to honor. I want to honor his last wishes. I want to, he wants the money to be buried with him. So the wife pulls out her checkbook, writes a check, and puts it in there with him. Amen for that. But what I'm trying to say, you can't take it with you when you go, folks. There's only one thing that's going to matter when you get to heaven. Of course, living for the Lord, I understand. But how many people did you lead to Christ? Oh, how we all fail at that sometimes, don't we? We all miss opportunities that we could have witnessed for the Lord. So verse number 7, they brought the colt to Jesus. You know what the Lord said about this colt, though, and I find very interesting? Look with me in verse number 3. So if any man say unto you, why do ye this? It's a question people ask. Why do you go to church? Why do you witness? You know, why do you read your Bible? Why do you do all that stuff? Why do ye this? What are you doing? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. The Lord hath a need of him. Can I say if you're lost here tonight, Lord hath a need of you? He doesn't want you to die and go to hell. In fact, the Bible says he doesn't want any to perish. He wants all to get saved. He has a need of you. He's calling you saying, hey, I can use you. Hey, why don't you come join the family? See, the Lord hath a need of you. Can I say, after you get saved and you're a born-again Christian? Let me tell you this. The Lord hath a need of you. Oh, but yeah, but I can't preach and I can't play the piano. I'm not musically talented or I can't sing. What can the Lord do with me? Can I say, when you get saved, there's something that the Lord has for you. He has something that you can do, even if it's just to go out and greet people at the door. Lord hath a need of you. Too many times people say, no, I don't really have any talent. I don't have, you know, I can't really do that or that. So, what am I going to serve the Lord? How am I going to do that? Let me tell you, when the Lord calls you to do something, the Lord sends you or tells you to do something or says, hey, I need you to plug in here, plug in there, do this. Don't tell him no. Too many times we say, no, Lord, I can't do that. No, Lord, I can't commit there and I can't do this. But you know what's going to happen? You're just going to miss out on the blessing. So God will have somebody else that will come up and they'll take the blessing that God hath planned for you. Isn't that something special? God hath a need for you. So the Lord hath need of him. So here we go. We get down to it. The colt is going to have a choice. They're leading the colt back to Jesus Christ. And we get down to verse number 7. And it says, and they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him. And look what happens. And he sat upon him. But wait a minute, that's a wild colt. The disciples couldn't have rode that donkey back. It was wild. I'm not a horse trainer. I don't know really anything about it. But let me tell you, you don't just go get on a wild horse and say, I'm going to go ride this horse. You don't get on a wild animal, a wild donkey, and say, I'm just going to ride it. You can't do that. It takes time. You got to break them in. You got to do certain things. There's no way the disciples could have tamed this horse. But that colt came back. And it got to Jesus. And it got there, and Jesus got up. And he got on top of that colt. And the colt said, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Whatever you need, Lord, I'll do. I accept you." You know the point? Just like only Jesus could tame that donkey, only Jesus can tame the hell-bound sinner. Only Jesus could take away the sins of the world. Only Jesus could do what he did for you and me on the cross of Calvary. Here he gets on top. The colt says, "I surrender." But he could have refused. Could have said no. Read verse number 8. "And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David, and cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And Jesus entered into Jerusalem." You can feel the excitement. You can hear the shouting. You can hear their voices. They're putting their garments down. They're putting the branches down. They're shouting, "Amen. Hey, praise the Lord. I'm excited." Turn over to Luke 23 and I'll be done. Luke chapter number 23. Luke chapter number 23, look with me in verse number 20. "Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, 'Crucify him, crucify him.'" That same crowd that was shouting, "Hosanna." That same crowd that was excited, saying, "Oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God." They're now yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him." You know, I've seen people in church, and I've preached messages on salvation, and I've seen people under conviction, people that I know are lost, and they come in. I know they're lost, and they come in, but they sing the songs, they do the pray, they not bow their head, and on the outside they're shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest." But on the inside, the Holy Spirit's saying, "Hey, you need to get saved." They're saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." You know, it reminds me of this man who had a dream. And during his dream, they were leading Christ to the cross of Calvary. And he was watching as they were leading him to the cross, and they were spitting on him, they were mocking him, trying to make a fool of him. And with every punch, with every kick, with every blow, he was getting madder and madder and madder. Finally, he couldn't take the blow. He couldn't take it, and he couldn't take it anymore. So he went up to the Roman soldier, and he grabbed him by the shoulder, and he turned him around, and it was himself. You know why it was himself? Because our sins put him there. Remember a time in life when you used to say, "Crucify him, crucify him," when you were lost? Folks, it was our sins that put him there. It's our fault. Here he comes over here. Yelling, "Crucify him." Can I say, if you're saved here tonight, aren't you tired of yelling? Aren't you tired of crying out? It's tough running from God. Maybe you're saved here tonight. Maybe there's a lost colt in your life. Maybe there's somebody, I don't know, maybe a brother. Maybe a sister, maybe a mom, maybe a dad. I don't know, but maybe there's a lost colt in your life. Maybe you've lost your burden a little bit. Maybe you're not praying for that person who's lost and on their way to hell like you should be. Oh, how hearts should be burdened for the lost. If you're here today and you're not saved, would you get saved today? Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow might be too late. He died for our sins, for me and for you. And he'll cross the Calvary. Oh, but one more part. He arose. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the ability to preach. And Lord, I just think about this crowd this size. Maybe one, maybe two. I don't know, Lord. I don't know the number, but maybe there's somebody here that's lost, undone, on their way to hell. Lord, I pray that they would get saved today. I pray that they would no longer realize, I don't want to be part of the crowd that's yelling, crucify him. I want to be the crowd that's yelling, praise the Lord, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven. Lord, I pray that they would come and walk down the aisle. I pray as the Holy Spirit knocks on their heart that they wouldn't refuse him anymore. I pray they wouldn't grab the pew in front of them and hold on and say, no, not today, not today. Lord, those who are saved, I pray that, Lord, maybe we lost our burden. Maybe there's a family member. Lost colt sitting over there. Lord, we know that the result is either you're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. Lord, I pray that maybe we're going to come down and pray and say, Lord, be with my brother. Lord, help my daddy to understand he needs to get saved. Help my cousin who's lost, and I know if they died today, they'd go to hell. Help me to get that burden. Let me pray and have a fervency about that. Lord, I pray that you'd lead, guide, and direct in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Brother Andrew, what's our number? 454. You can actually see the words on the screen if you'd like to just do that. If the Lord's touched your heart and you need to respond, we give you an opportunity to do so. If you need to come.